prayer. We're going to be in Matthew 18, but before we get there, we got to start in Matthew 6. So, our jumping off place is Matthew 18, but we need to go to Matthew 6 to get this in context. In Matthew 18, he's talking about united prayer, where two or more gathered in my name. I'm in their midst, talking about prayer. Well, this is one of the second major lessons on prayers about united prayer. One of the things that he teaches us before this is about individual prayer. And we're going to look at just a little bit of that. Then we're going to get over into Matthew 18. And we're going to put this in context here and learn something new about prayer. I think once we see it, it's like, duh, yeah, that makes common sense, you know. But sometimes it's just actually seeing it and recognizing that's what's going on. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father shall seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask them. And then down here in verse 9, he talks about, this is an example on teaching us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. That is not a prayer that we memorize. That is a prayer that is taught on how to pray. Those are characteristics and qualities and things that should be in your prayer. It's also over in Luke chapter 11. We've taught on that not too long ago. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for what you've given us here. And God, I just ask that you'll help us to understand and see and apply and learn from what you have for us here this morning or this afternoon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first lesson, as I said, is teaching us to pray, but not seen of men. To enter into your closet. They pray on the corner. They pray on the street. The street corner. And they make all these big public prayers so everybody can hear them. Microphone off first. All right. Sorry about that, but I had to do something. Okay, now, teaching us what the meaning of prayer is a personal, individual contact with God. What prayer is. A personal, individual contact with God. Now, this is something that is unique to Christianity. They're the only ones that can actually say, I can talk to God and I know He hears me. All kinds of verses through He hears your prayers. His ear is not short that it cannot hear. And all kinds of things that He hears your prayers. He always hears your prayers. And He always answers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's later. But He does answer. And not sometimes the way we think He ought to or as soon as He ought to. As we think about this prayer, here in Matthew chapter 6, we have seen that these people are praying to be seen of men. They have their reward. They have made their speech. Remember the story of the publican, the tax collector, and the Pharisee. And the publican smote upon his breast and wouldn't even lift up his head into heaven. And he says he went down to his house justified. The Pharisee, the religious leader, He says, I thank you, I'm not like this sinner over here, and all this stuff, you know, in their public prayers. Well, he was heard of man, and that was all. Before there is public prayer, you mean like we open the services with prayer, pray for the offering, you know, different things like that. And then before there is a joint prayer meeting, there needs to be already a relationship set up between the prayer, the prayer warrior, and God. The example I was looking at and reading about, a man that wrote a book in the 1800s about prayer, was he was comparing it to a tree. And we was out there looking at trees and all that stuff. We was talking about putting stuff on the roots and all those things. If the tree does not have a good root system, it will be a sick tree. Be a bad tree. The leaves, many times, the branches, all of those things tell you what's going on with the roots. And as far as the branches reach out, remember they call it the drip line? That's how far the roots reach out. The further the branches reach out, you know, the further the roots are reaching out. You know what the roots are like by looking at the tree. But the roots are kind of in the secrets, hid in the ground where they can't be seen. Because if it has a strong roots, the trunk will be tall, the leaves will be green, the fruit will be ripe and sweet if it's a fruit tree. And if all of those things are taking place, you know it has a good, strong root foundation, even though you can't see it. The reason he wants you to go pray in your closet doesn't have to be literally a closet, but some place where you can be alone and not interrupted and have some time to communicate with God. If that person's personal prayer life is strong, you will see it in their life, just as with the tree. If the roots are strong with the tree, you will see it in the tree, what you can see. If a person's personal prayer life is strong, you will see it in their life. Their life will be as a tree reaching up high into the sky and the warm sun, touching the doors of heaven. Our Christian life should be like a strong, great tree reaching high up into the bright, sun-filled sky. Another example. Family. Family. One of the things that unites mankind with other mankind is we're all people. some animals are a social animal, a herd animal. Some animals are individual animals. But God, not comparing us to animals, because we're not, we have a soul. But God designed man not to be alone. He designed man to be a social creature, to live in towns and cities and villages and work together and things like that. That's the way we're designed. A hermit is the unusual. A recluse is the unusual. If you were ever in the military, or and you run across somebody from the same state that you're in, you guys are automatic buddies, huh? And if you run across somebody that's from the same town, oh man, you guys have got all kinds of things in common, and you're automatically buddies because you may be off somewhere else, and now you have a common bond with this person. Because you're together. The strongest bond is among family. It should be. It is not normal for a family member to only see and speak to their father in private. Only in private. No more than it's normal for a family member to only speak to their father in public with the rest of the family, and they never talk to him in private. If that's the case, then there's something wrong in the family. If the only time the child is around the father is when the whole group is there, and he's never alone with the father, then there's a reason. Or if he's always away when the group is together, and he's only with the father alone, there's something wrong there. It's not a normal situation. Something's going on, whatever it is. You should be comfortable in both situations. You should be comfortable with the family as a group. You should be comfortable alone with the person as a family. As you're with your father. If there is a strong relationship, the same should be that, well, it should be the same way with God. You should be comfortable talking to God alone, one-on-one. You should also be comfortable talking to God in a prayer meeting. Because He is your Father. And you are together a lot. And you're very close. Before you can have a public relationship with God, you have to have a private one. Before you can have a public prayer life with God, you have to have a private prayer life with God. Before I ask a man to pray in church, I normally ask them first, in private, off to the side. Because there's been a couple of embarrassing times when that is done and they just, I mean, they crawl in a hole. That is something that I think you shouldn't be embarrassed talking among family. When you're all sitting around at Thanksgiving or Christmas or a birthday or something, everybody's all sitting around. Are you quiet then? This is supposed to be a family too. I love the prayers of young children. They are very simple, very direct, not flowery, flowered all up with all these fancy adjectives and everything, like the sportscaster or something. And they're just simply talking to God. The full action of the Holy Spirit working in the body, in the church, depends upon the union and the cooperation of everybody. If there's not a union and cooperation in the church, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have the freedom to move as He wants to. That's in Matthew chapter 6. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18, where we was first headed with all of this. Matthew 18, 19. This is also about prayer. There's lots in the Bible about prayer. Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say unto you, he's still teaching them, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. As I mentioned before, this is not church. This is a prayer meeting. Some people try and use this verse as an excuse not to go to church. They're taking it out of context and use it the wrong way. The first thing here is agreement. Agreement. Some special need that all in the prayer meeting have an agreement on. A grand matter of united great desire. Are you just coming to prayer time just because it's announced? Just because you think it's expected? Or do you come with a united desire to join your prayers together and lift them before the throne of God and expect great things to be done? A unity. A oneness, a togetherness, also a fellowship of togetherness. We had some fun in Sunday school class before I got started teaching this morning. Someone said, "This is like a family reunion. Everybody's laughing and giggling and having a good time. It's like a family reunion," they said. I thought, man, that's good. That's good. A family pulls together and joins together to help. But one of the keys to all of this is, first is agreement, a specific thing, expecting a specific answer. Someone said, if you aim at nothing, you always hit the bullseye. You need to be aiming at something. You need to be shooting for something. You need to have something in mind. Heal all the sick people in the world. Help all the missionaries around the world. No. Be specific. People. Names. See them in your eye, in your mind. As you talk about them and pray about them. And really touch God about them. But also here it says here, where two or three are gathered together in my name. In the name of Christ Jesus. A unity of belief and faith in Jesus. Together on the same page about Jesus. Also, we always say we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And we kind of tack that on the end of our prayers. Before you say that, are you asking in the will of God? Now, sometimes you may not be sure. But if you're asking something that He wants you to have, then you or to do, you don't have a problem with that. But He says, I am in the midst of them. Jesus is in the center of all of this meeting, this prayer meeting. It is a great, great, amazing, beyond description privilege that a Christian has that they can talk to God. The only reason that we have access to God is through the cross of what Jesus did on that cross. Our access to God, our ability to talk to God, is only because Jesus laid down His life on that cross. If Jesus had not laid down His life on that cross, we would not have access to God. We would not be able to talk to God. It was the sacrifice and the death of Jesus that gave us the ability to talk to God. The Creator of the universe. The one that put the stars in space. The one that put air in your lungs. The one that has the sun come up every morning. The one that gave you life. The one that dwells in your heart. The one that you're going to see someday. The one that made heaven for you. You have the privilege and the honor to talk to God. The supreme number one creator being of all God. Number one of everything. You can talk to God. Somebody said, no busy signals. I seen a sign on a church that says, get in touch with God through knee mail. Talking about knee mail. The religions around the world, except for Christianity, they hope they talk to their whatever. They're trying to bribe him and pay him off and vain repetition, as it says here. Do all of these things to get his attention. Remember when the prophet of God had the contest with the gods of Baal? He says, oh, maybe he's off hunting. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's not hearing you. Oh, he was just gouging them big time. Making fun of them. They were cutting themselves and doing all kinds of things. All day long. And the prophet of God says, God, show these people who's real. That's kind of a paraphrase, but that's pretty much what he said. And God came down from heaven and licked up that offering and took up that offering and even cleaned up the dust around it. And they said, God's God. And then they killed over 500 prophets of Baal. This is an awesome responsibility as well as a privilege. You have a responsibility as a member of this church to be a prayer warrior for this church. and the people of this church, the ministries of the church, the things going on here. That is your responsibility as a member of the family. Do you show up to potluck or Christmas or birthdays or Thanksgiving with just an empty plate? You know, most people bring stuff together and put it all together and have a meal, huh? It's the same in a church. But you all bring in something spiritually to put into the stew. Well, you used to call it what, hobo stew? Everybody brings something and puts it in? I guess it all turns out pretty good. But you see, you are part of this body. You have a responsibility. What happens when you get out of bed in the morning and your foot says, I don't want to work today? I want to stay in bed. You get out of bed in the morning, the alarm goes off and your foot says, I'm not getting up, I'm staying in bed. Then you hobble around and limp through the whole day. That's what happens in the church. Well, I'm not going today. I don't feel up to it. I don't want to. Or I didn't pray. I don't want to pray. I don't have time. Then the church is hobbled and hindered and handicapped, restricted. Can't do what it could do. Can't run the race. In the midst. Now notice here, there's some more here that I've got a question mark in my mind and I haven't been able to put it all together yet. But I know part of what it's saying. That if two of you shall agree on earth, where we are, as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. We are on earth. God is in heaven. How do we contact? Through Jesus in the middle. God is in heaven. When he's teaching them how to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. That classifies who you're talking to and who you're talking about. You listen to some of these old rock and roll songs that they come out with in the 60s and 70s. And you think, well, they're kind of maybe thinking about God or something other like that. And then they start Sun, Jet, Moon and all these other people. They start naming in these songs. Father can mean anybody. But there's only one in heaven. Now, in the unity of faith and of love and of the Spirit, in the power of the name and the presence of Jesus. That's how we talk to God. The mark that there has been true, united prayer is the fruit. Just like the tree. The answer. The receiving of what we ask for. There are many references in the Bible where Paul asked the other churches to pray for him for the ministry. He asked for united prayer. He says, you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, he says in Romans. In Corinthians, ye also helping together by prayer for us. In Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Colossians, with all praying also for us. In 2 Thessalonians, brethren, pray for us. Many references in the Bible Paul asked the churches and he mailed out letters and all this. Pray for us. Pray for us. What is it do our missionaries say? Pray for us. Pray for us. Lift us up. Strengthen us. Pray for us. That we may have boldness to utter your gospel. Pray for us. Prayer is the power that you contact things with. This lamp here, if I can get it here. This lamp is useless. Like this. It is useless. Still a lamp. Still looks like a lamp. It's got a bulb on it. Clean. Got a switch. On, off. Got a cord. Got lights. All that stuff. But it's useless. Until it is connected to the power. When it is connected to the power. Where does that come from? Out of the wall. How does it get there? Some wires. Where do they come? From some pole out there. Where do they come from? Some generator somewhere. Where's it at? I don't know. How does it get here? I don't know. Can you see that electricity go down that wire? Can you see those little electrons jumping down that copper wire, aluminum wire, and jumping and jumping and going on down? Why is the wire still there? Why aren't it all melted? Why aren't all the electrons gone? Why is it? How's it? Hey, it works. But you know, one of the things that it has to have for it to work is it has to have a bulb. It's still useless. This is you. This is you. Until you're where you belong, in your little socket, until you're connected to the power, and then you turn it on. The power's there. But nothing happens until you turn it on, until you make contact. Until you receive the power through your prayer life. That's where your power comes from. That's where your strength comes from. That's where your ability comes from. In Acts 1:8, what was taking place in Acts 1:8 and Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2? The 120 were in the upper room waiting for what? And what did Jesus tell them that they would get in when that took place? And what were they doing, those 120 in that upper room? For those 10 days. He ascended 40 days after he resurrected from the grave. They were having a 10-day, prayer meeting. 10-day prayer meeting. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and othermost parts of the earth. The Spirit was given to them to be powerful witnesses. In John chapter 16, it says the Spirit will not speak of Himself. He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Righteousness, sin, and judgment, I think is the order it is. And what happened? He preached that day and over 3,000 were saved. He preached the next few days there, and 5,000 were there. And they says, men have never spoke like these before. And then they says, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone and spend some time getting in contact. Now, what happens when you've been away from the family for a long time? The Vaters are going up to see one of their brothers and their nieces. There's one nephew in there, right? Yeah, okay. That boy's going to have trouble. 4-1. 4-1. But they're going up there to see family. Been away for a while. They talk all the time on the phone. Probably a day doesn't go by they don't talk on the phone to family. Because family's close. But I bet they're going to spend a whole lot of time catching up. Sometimes we have to do that with God. It's been a while since we really got in touch with God. Got to spend some time catching up. Got to spend some time getting that fellowship going again. Got to spend some time getting that communication going again. And don't wait till something happens. Because then you don't have time. Our Saturday morning prayer time is, we're specifically gearing towards the sheep that have drifted away from our flock here. Wednesdays we have prayer time after the services. As a group for a church for just general prayer requests and things like that. But that is the time that we come together as a group for prayer. But we're hoping that that's not the first time you talk to God that day. Or that week. That you've been staying in close contact with Him, talking on a regular basis. And when you get down for a joint prayer meeting, you don't have to spend a lot of time getting, finding out and where He is and where you're at. You're ready to get down to business and talk to God. There is no certain procedure, certain things you have to say. There's respect and honor. But you just need to talk to Him. Just need to talk to Him. Do you want power in your life? Do you want the Spirit to have power in your life? To be a witness for Jesus? Then it starts on your knees. It starts with your prayer time. Now, listen, let me clear up something here. Sometimes in the Bible, they laid on the ground and prayed. Just prostrate. Just lay it out. But you can't always do that. You might be driving down the road or something, you know? Maybe your body physically, you can't get on your knees. That's okay. God knows that. We just use that expression because that is a sign of humbling the body and talking to God. But If you're too comfortable, you'll probably go to sleep. So if you find yourself going to sleep and you wake up and you don't remember what happened, then you need to start over again. But listen. The man that got me started on this study, I was reading about prayer, thinking about prayer and looking at prayer, I think was Murphy, I think Andrew, something like that, Murphy. 18 and 45. Hey, still the same God. Still the same prayers. Same thing, still work. And these men were very brilliant men. Because they were prayer warriors. We're going to stand on our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know what God wants to burden you with. But I know one thing. Our church and myself need more prayer. I know I need more prayer in my life. I know our church needs more united prayers. We uplift and pray for each other and united prayers. I know those things. But also, do you know you're saved? That's the first thing. He's not your father if you're not saved. Dear Jesus, we just ask as you take this that you'll help us and strengthen us, encourage us. And let us learn how to get in contact with you. God, just let us talk to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.